Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundrie with the T30 Observations for Sunday, February 13th, 2011. I am going to extend the analysis in just one overview today relative to the formation of a top in February 14th, which I discussed last week, and the possibility, which I think is a reasonable possibility, that it will be extended and we will make some kind of a momentum peak early this next week. But if we don't see any kind of a sell-off thereafter, I believe that the alternate top that Parker has described in his first tutorial, calling for a February 24, 26 peak, is more likely to be correct. And so I exercise a little bit of patience in the early part of the week to see if we can't get a good argument for that continuation into the latter part of February. Also, discussed today, Tim asked about the 30-day cash buildup phase in the chart, and I've, as you can see, I've drawn in a new T. It's in green. It encompasses the left side of the T, encompasses the 32 trading days, and it projects a top towards the middle of next month. And you know, the oscillator is kind of climbing up in a grudging manner. It's not likely to be making an explosive rally here, but it could keep the hugging pattern up at the top, where the S&P stays just below the right upper end, the red upper envelope. Keep moving it on to a point in which you're going to run into the expected low in March, which will be the first half in March, which is the low number 8 in the chart, and that's has interesting consequences. Number one consequence is that you can get to the latter February top date, which is the 24th, 26th, discussed in the first tutorial, that is the top tutorial down at the bottom of the page. And then we have to harmonize that with the his fourth tutorial, which is the February 14th, 14-week cycle, and then looking at the divergences to kind of get a more realistic view of what's going on in the market as to relatively how these two dates are going to appear. So let's take a first look at the his first tutorial. As you can see, when you read that tutorial over, he's got an ambiguity in relative to the fact that the last the tipping point or the center point of his money flow indicator is January 6th. That's where the money flow indicator made its peak. But he's got the same problem I have in my chart, where if you look at low number 7, there's an A low which comes in early and a B low which comes in about 7 or 8 days later on. So when you make the projection with money flow indicators, you're going to either go from the B time from the B bottom through the January 6th midpoint, and then you're going to make an extrapolation, which you're going to get early next week, or you decide to go back to the A bottom and you get a longer time going up to the midpoint January 6th, and so you get a peak previous to that. The problem that you run into is that we don't really know which one should you do. You should use the middle of the two or whatever it is. So so that ambiguity exists. In his fourth tutorial coming down from the top, he observed that there's a 14-week cycle, and therefore you would be more inclined to grab the first one. However, when I made the discovery that the bottoms in this time period, this most recent time period here, were 75 trading days apart, 75 trading days, if you just, there are no holidays, that's 1 week equals 5 days. So when you divide 5 into 75, you come up with 15 weeks. So there is an indication that it could actually run for another week, because the true nature of the cycle is not, on the bottoms was 15 weeks, and the trend is now stronger than some of those other historical examples. So, you know, it could get another week out of it. So that's why Parker is talking about going to the divergence and so forth. However, I would also say that this secondary cash buildup of 32 trading days is going to support the market, and it would seem to me that that is going to give you the extra push you need to kind of say, not to pull the trigger too early on the top, and take a look at the, you know, what happens after Monday, Tuesday, and if it just goes limp and pulls down to the point where you, what you think is going on is nothing serious on the downside, then I think you just come up to those two estimates, which come about in the first tutorial, that could be February 24th, 26th. A corollary to that is if you get that far, then it's fairly clear that the whatever the decline is into the ringing cycle number 8, it's not going to carry below the black center channel marker line, which is a 55-day exponential moving average. You can get. I haven't added the S&P definitions for the three limits in the channels here, but 55-day exponential moving average is available anyway. You can get a stock charts for free. Just set up a trial account and do it. Some people use a 50-day moving average. And that is that's also generally available any place, and it probably wouldn't make any difference. But I would say that if you can get that thing to just travel out, I would say that you can probably get another week out of it. And if you get another week out of it, probably there's some truth to the 24th, 26th. And then the question is, what's going to happen as far as coming down? Well, a blunting of the decline so that you hold the black center channel line is basically intermediate T number 3, which says that there's a top in May, but it's technically May 1st. And the implications of that not having a correction of any significance, there'll be a correction, but it'll be rather short-lived. It's like a five-day correction, something like that. And after a big down day, you tend to be getting close enough to the mid-channel point that it tends to just settle in and so forth. It should be easy to see if that's all that's going to happen. But I would say that that means that the intermediate T number 3's projection from a low from late November all the way to May 1 is relatively very much strong, because this extra cash buildup phase, which came from skepticism from before, has built up enough money on the sidelines to fill in the cyclical rigging cycle gap, which we expect in the first half of March. So it looks like it's flowing up. In that case, I would say that it's always better to be in the groups that people want to have. But even the laggards, which would be the gold and the emerging markets and so forth, they're probably going to get picked up someplace along the line, because to sustain that kind of drive, you'd have to have some kind of rotation going, and at some point they'll pick up the laggards and so forth. So I would say that we probably have to look critically at the first few days of next week as some kind of a topping in momentum, and then kind of look for it. Maybe if you're keeping the volume oscillator, what you're looking for is it doesn't go below the zero line or something like that, so it kind of just goes limp rather than coming down. And if you can get that far, then I think we're headed up for a week plus. The difference between the two projection dates that you have is basically the number of days between the A bottom and the B bottom. So it's you count those number of days, and that's the uncertainty, the whole thing. But if the new T that Tim asked the question about is doing its job, you will get to the 24th or the 26th, because it's already got enough money to go to mid March, and then you'll get some kind of a conglomeration of violent trading ranges in the upper half of the channel that you'll have to use. You won't be able to pick them by dates. You'll have to just go by level. In other words, if you push up too high, you'll blow off. And then if you dip down and you see a bottom at the mid-channel, then that's good enough for all practical purposes. So that's it for this Sunday. We'll pick up, be back next. Thanks for checking in, and we'll be back next Sunday. Bye-bye.